2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. Stand if you would, please. I'll begin reading. When I finish, I'll have a word of prayer and then the message. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about to words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Let us bow for prayer. Father and God, I pray that I'll do justice to this passage of Scripture and to this message, and I pray that each of us will have a better heart for you today than we had yesterday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, you and I are very blessed people. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he's chosen us to serve him. Not everyone in this world can serve him, you know. Remember when Christ walked the earth and he would do things, and the Bible told us at times demons would see him and they would say, "We know you, who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Christ would say, "Be quiet. You do not have the right to proclaim who I am." Not everyone has that right to talk about him. Not everyone has that right to serve him. Only a select group of people whom he himself has saved and called. You are part of that elect because you know Christ as Savior. It tells us at the beginning here that we should grow in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That word grace we take for granted sometimes. We do know that one part of grace is his unmerited favor. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his mercy, but he gives it to us. And incidentally, he gives it to us freely. He doesn't begrudge us having it, and that means salvation. He came to give us life, like Cal was mentioning a moment ago. The Lord didn't have to come, but his love compelled him to come. So he could say, with desire of desire to have this last supper with you before I do suffer. What a wonderful thing about his grace. But there's another meaning for this word grace, and it means something very important for the believer. It means that God works in your life to make you to become who and what he wants you to become. He works in your life. He's influencing you on a somewhat regular basis, I hope, especially through his word. And so as we get into this idea about spiritual service, may I encourage you to understand something about spiritual service. It is an enduring service. It's something that continues on and on. It perpetuates through our lives. but it's also something that must be influenced by Christ. As I've shared with you, we grow in His grace, but it also must be passed on to others. In verse 2, Paul said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's an important statement by Paul, because Paul was able to say to the Ephesians before he was going to be imprisoned for the rest of his life, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." In other words, when we are serving Him, we pass it on to other people. We influence other people as well. Incidentally, let me tell you something about service, what it is. It isn't just what I'm doing right now. It isn't just being part of the music program or the teaching program. It's doing anything that helps somebody in life. I was sharing with the class in Sunday school this morning when our Lord separates the sheep from the goats, and when He talks to the sheep, He says, "I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you cared for me." And then they ask one day, "When did we see you do for any of these things?" In other words, it's nothing. I mean, who are we that we have the honor to serve you even? And He said, "Inasmuch as you've done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You see someone that has a need in their home, and you help them, you take care of them. What they've been doing, getting ready for the parsonage. What you did yesterday in moving us in and preparing even for the supplies my wife needed. And how you take care of the Rose family. That's all serving Him, Him as well. By the way, years ago, can I get some water? Years ago in Joliet, I said we're going to have morning services only. 9 o'clock is going to be our new 6 o'clock service. We had service at 6 o'clock. Then we had Sunday school at 10, church at 11, 3 hours straight. And someone said, "Well, that may be too much for you." And I said, "No, it won't be." And I'm up there giving those announcements, and suddenly I got a catch in my throat, and I started coughing. And they thought, "You're not going to be able to handle 3 hours, pal." But yeah, really, you can't. But you know, the supplies you gave, that's serving God. You sweep the church, you mow the yard. What you do is serving the Lord. You're doing it as unto Christ. Others may not even see some things that you do, and yet you're doing it for Jesus Christ. It's an enduring service. It's something that continues on, and I want to tell you something. You influence people when you do serve Him. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. When I went to I get my churches mixed up as I get older. Ridgewood, Joliet. We had a fellow in our church named Lyle. He's now well into his 90s. And another named Spud. His name was really Francis, but his name was nicknamed Spud, and they called him that all the time. He'll be 93 93 in April. These two fellas, over the years, served God in that ministry, and anything that needed to be taken care of, they took care of it. Others did too, but they were always older men, retired, and they were just busy serving God there at that church. There was a young boy named Ethan who was an elementary student. And he one day came with a bunch of stuff on his person. And his mother asked, "Ethan, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, today I'm Lyle and I'm Spud. I'm going to fix things today." Now, these men who just served God were such an influence in that little boy's life that he actually wanted to play like he was them. You can relate to that. When I was a young boy, my favorite baseball player was a guy named Harvey Keene. Now, he's been gone for so many years that most of you probably don't know who Harvey Keene was. I can tell you a lot about Harvey Keene. He played for the Detroit Tigers for a number of years, won the batting championship in 1959, batting .353. He was traded the next year to Cleveland, broke my heart, traded for Rocky Colavito. But I knew everything about Harvey Keene, so much so that when I played baseball in high school, there was one guy in particular who used to ask me, in teasing me, details about Harvey Keene, including his wife and children. I knew him. I knew the answers. I knew where Harvey grew up. I knew everything about him. But the thing, when I was in elementary school, Harvey Keene used to chew tobacco, and the jaw would stick out. My mother wouldn't let me chew tobacco. So I got Bazooka bubble gum. And I got as much bubble gum as I could, and I put it in my jaw. So when I'm up the bat, I want to be like Harvey Keene. Problem is, Harvey Keene, you couldn't strike him out. He batted over 600 times his rookie year, struck out 15. That's one out of every 50-some at-bats. That's pretty tough. That never happens today. Harvey Keene was a line drive bases hitter. I wasn't. I struck out a lot. And I hit some home runs. I was a home run hitter. But Harvey Keene was my favorite player, and I wanted to do just like Harvey Keene. Harvey never knew me. I prayed for Harvey up until the day he died that he'd come to know the Lord if he didn't know him. I think of Harvey Keene a lot. Harvey Keene had an influence on my life. You know what? If you serve Jesus Christ, you'll have an influence on the life of somebody. Years ago, a man pastored the church where I pastored in Terre Haute. And I asked him, when were you called to the ministry? He said, I was called on a Sunday night right here at the back of this church building when you preached. He said, I was a student at Indiana State University. I was on the wrestling team. But you preached about serving God and surrendering to the Lord. That night I surrendered to God and I went off to Bible college, and now I'm pastoring the church where I surrendered at. I didn't know that. I never knew it until I shared a funeral with him years later. You don't know who you're going to influence, but it will be passed on, and it must be passed on. And spiritual service must endure the tough times. Verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many of you watch NASCAR racing? Anybody here? Anybody up to date with life? I'm just teasing. All right. I like when Joe Gibbs prays because he gives a salvation prayer. But every other prayer is basically a cookie-cutter prayer. But one of the things they say is something that I think is very important. They thank the Lord for their military, for those in the military and protecting our country. We should do that on a continual basis for sure. But we understand that when you're in the military, you're in a tough situation. You're in an enduring situation. You can't just decide to pack up and go home when you want if you're over fighting somewhere. And you've got to do everything you can to survive. A few weeks ago, the Congressional Medal of Honor was given to a fellow named Jim McLuhan from South Haven. I know Jim. He went to Bangor High School, graduated a couple of years in front of me. We worked together. Jim was a great athlete. 48 years later, after he was a hero to several men and saved 10 men's lives, he was recognized as for that with the Congressional Medal of Honor. But through all the years in Vietnam and those 2 or 3 days, he talked about when shrapnel was hitting him and hurting him and wounding him, and he was saving the lives of people. One man he carried over his shoulder to make sure he got to safety. The other, if he'd put it over his shoulder, the man would have bled to death and died, so he had to carry him in his arms like this. And he was going among, and during that time, he was also shot while he was walking and going through the fields. He also went out at night to have a lantern, a light that would flash on and off so they would show a supply drop for the military, risking his life right out in the open field. That's enduring something, friends. But that's what we do as a Christian in service for our Lord. When I went to Terre Haute, there was a family, a dear lady came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Baker, we've done a lot of things over the years, and we've just served God, and now we're older. It's time for the younger people to take over, and it's just time for us to stop. And I said, no, it isn't. You don't stop until God calls you home. And thank God they didn't. She actually didn't stop. She wanted to, but she didn't. And I know there are times we want to throw in the towel, give up. I knew a preacher who would say, I retired a lot after Sunday night, but I re-enlisted again on Monday morning. Sure, that's life itself. It's never going to be easy all the time, but you serve him. And you serve by serving other people as well. That's enduring. Something to remember while we're being a servant of the Lord and giving him our spiritual service, to remember that it's the Word of God that is primary for us. Verses 8 through 13 talk about that. Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, the message, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And so Paul's emphasis And by the way, Paul helped and cared for other people, but it was the emphasis of the Word of God. And something Paul had learned, God's Word is not limited. God's Word is not bound. Now, I want you to think for just a moment about the Apostle Paul. Most of Paul's writings were done when he was incarcerated, when he was in prison. Matter of fact, it seems to be as though he had to go to prison for him to write the Word of God because he was so busy otherwise. And something that at one time had to have seemed to be very limiting for him became an opportunity for him to expand far beyond he had ever known he would expand. Do you realize 24% of the New Testament was written by Paul? And do you realize how many thousands and thousands and millions of people are saved because of what Paul wrote? When he wrote this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans 10:13. Millions of people have responded to those words and have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The Word of God is not bound. It doesn't matter where you are. The Word of God will continue on. At the end of Philippians, he said, "All the saints salute you, chiefly those who are of Caesar's household." That's where he was in prison. And yet, even under the nose of the Caesar, his servants were coming to know Jesus Christ. And this message has been proclaimed throughout the world. You and I have the greatest and most powerful message there is, and word there is, and tool there is, and instrument there is, and most powerful medicine there is in the world. The Bible says a merry heart, for instance, doeth good like a medicine. If you have a cheerful heart, you've got something that's going your way. Years ago, when I was pastoring in Kendallville, Indiana, a lady told me about a young lady, older than me actually, but still young, and said she's got terminal cancer, and she's going, which means you're going to die within the year. And she said, "But Pastor, I'd like you to meet her." So she invited her to come to our house, and my wife and I met her, and she was the most cheerful lady I'd ever met. And she talked one moment about going home, and I asked, or taking my trip, she said. And I asked, "What trip are you taking?" She says, "I'm excited about that. I am so ready to go to be with the Lord. I can't wait." She had cancer. She's going to die within the year. Well, the last I knew, about 20 years later, she was still alive. And she had married and had children. She was so excited about going to be with the Lord that she stayed in the Word of God that she got more healthy. The Word of God doeth good like a medicine. It is a healer for us. And the Apostle Paul understood that, and he understood God's Word is not bound. It can make a difference in every person's life. I will tell you this. I've been saved now for 58 years this past July. Flunked fifth grade, led to Christ by my younger cousin. It's made all the difference in my life, let me tell you. The Word of God is something I read much every single day of my life. I would be nothing without that. Matter of fact, an individual one time was really ticked off at me because they asked me a question. I gave them a Bible answer, but it wasn't according to what their church did, and they didn't like it. And then that individual said, "He wouldn't be anything if it weren't for that book." That person meant it for bad. I thought, that's the biggest compliment you could give me. I was asked when I worked at Consumers Concrete one day at our lunchtime at the block plant. There's a fellow, he was kind of a moonlighter. He worked full-time as a fireman, but they worked 24 on, you know, and off and all that stuff. So he worked as a part-time guy at the block plant. And one day at lunch, he asked me a question. He said, "What do you think about this?" And I said, "Well, the Bible says," and he interrupted me and said, "Stop. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I want to hear what you think." And I said, "Well, you got to understand something. If I know what the Bible says, that is what I think." I said, "I don't know all the answers, but I do know this to the question you ask me. The Bible has an answer for it, and God has done my thinking for me." By the way, isn't that nice? It's so nice to know that there is someone who's done the thinking for us already. All we have to do is know what he said about it. The president of our college used to talk about knowing God's Word and his heart and his will like the back of our hand, he would say. Just know his Word. That's because that's the one thing that is not bound. You and I are limited, but His word is not limited. Spiritual service is enduring. Spiritual service is also something that we proclaim, and then it's also something that we commit to self-discipline as well. Verses 14 through 18, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the word study there is the word that means give yourself wholly to it, or give diligence to this. Give diligence in your life to show yourself approved unto God. Now you know, friends, in our own selves there is nothing that's any good. The Bible says after we've done all that He's commanded us, we're still unprofitable servants. The Apostle Paul said about himself, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. There's nothing good in me, he said, other than what Christ has made me to be. That's why he could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And here Paul says, under the inspiration of the very Holy Spirit of God, give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's amazing to me that God would actually consider anything I would do for Him to be something that pleases Him, but He's chosen to be pleased. And the same for you. He has a heart for you, and He has a heart for you to have a heart for Him. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. That means you become one in union, in heart. You know, they say, I always considered myself good looking since I was married because of who I married. Not because I thought I was good looking. They say you marry somebody that you look like. And I thought, man, I'm in good company. I'm okay. If that's true, and we're the bride of Christ, and we're going to become one with Him, that means we need to look like Him. That means that when people see us, it's like they see Jesus Christ, that they are influenced by us. That's why in the book of Acts, they were first called Christians at Antioch, because they reminded the people of Jesus Christ. There could be no better testament about us than that were the case. Giving diligence to show ourselves approved. And by the way, when a man chooses a wife, he approves of her. And Christ wants to approve of us as well. Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And this next portion is very important. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what that means? That means that Bert Baker doesn't have a right to take the word of God and make it mean what he wants it to mean. That means that Bert Baker needs to take the word of God and to let it be what God says it should be and what it means. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, in context of the word of God. No doctrines are made by ourselves. It's all in the word of God. Rightly dividing or handling the word of God so that when we give forth the word of God or we speak the word of God, when we share the word of God, it's truthful. And it's in context for their lives. That's what God wants. That's spiritual service. We're disciplined in our lives to make sure that everything about us is Jesus Christ and His word. Let me ask you a question. Are you a servant of God today? You've been called to be. Would you then allow yourself to have an enduring service as unto Christ? Would you allow yourself to make the word of God the primary part who you are and why you do what you do, and also to give diligence on a regular basis, a daily basis? Paul said, I die daily. He presents his body as a living sacrifice to God. Would you give diligence so that you can be a pleaser of God and you look like His Son, Jesus Christ, by the way you live? Shall we pray? Our God and Heavenly Father, I'm grateful to you for this passage of Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that each of us in here today will have a heart to be involved in spiritual service in some way. Maybe a gift that we have, an opportunity we have to care for someone, to love them, to help them, to see a need and help meet that need if we have the gift or the ability. I pray that you'll help us in that matter. And may it be an enduring service. May we realize that until we're called home, there's something that we can do for you. I pray that the Word of God will be the primary focus of what we share or what guides us in our lives, and that we'll be willing to give ourselves diligently for Thee. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning, maybe some of you have a gift that you could come and pray for someone who has your need, who has a need. You heard it mentioned a few moments ago, a number of people who are having tests coming up, maybe surgery, something that they need prayer for. You know, the most encouraging thing is when someone truly prays for a person in need. I heard the story the other day of a person who came to an individual and had been told of their need and a request that this person had. And a few days later, they came and asked, "How's it going? I've been praying for you on a regular basis." And that person had been very cold toward that individual until he heard that. And then it totally changed his attitude about that individual when he saw that that person's going on behalf of him to the throne of grace on a regular basis and praying for their need. Today, when we give our invitation song, "Just As I Am," there may be a need that you have, there may be a need that someone else has, but you want to spend a few moments talking to your wonderful, holy, heavenly Father who is watching and listening to the prayer made in this place. And you come and have a seat or come and kneel here, and you talk to God on behalf of that person who has that need of your prayer. Maybe it's something in your own life. Maybe you're an individual who will say, "Oh, dear God, I love you, and I want to have spiritual service towards you. I want to be a surrendered person to you. I want to care for the things that you care about. I want to please you, Lord." Talk to him about it. Maybe I don't know all of you yet, and I hope to get to know you. But maybe right now you sit there and you say, "I don't know that if I died this day that I would go to be with the Lord on my way to heaven." A dear friend of mine the other day in the ministry over in Rockford, Illinois, got word that his 34-year-old son died suddenly of a heart attack. 34 years old. You never know. So maybe today you don't know, but you want to know. And we can show you from the Word of God how you can know that when your day comes, that you'll be with the Lord. For the Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. But whatever it is, this invitation time is important. And it's an opportunity for you to talk to God on behalf of others or yourself. And don't let it slip past you. It is important. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, you're going to be in a different world, a busyness. But right now, your heart is centered on the God who loves you so. And so when we sing "Just As I Am," I encourage you to become a participant in enduring service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please bless these next few moments for your glory. I pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.